Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Billboard.com Pop Shop Podcast. My name is Keith Caulfield, and I am the co-director of charts at Billboard, based in Los Angeles. Joining me on the other line in New York is Billboard's music editor, Jason Lipschitz.
What's up, man?
How are you?
How's it going?
Oh, it's going swimmingly. How are things in New York?
I'm great, man. I'm great. It's Monday. We are recovering from Video Music Awards. Had a great time, and it's been a fun week in pop music.
But yeah, a few things are happening.
Yeah.
A few things. We'll be talking all about all of that stuff that you're already thinking that we're going to talk about. That we teased actually a week ago on the show, because the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast is your one-stop shop for all things pop on Billboard's weekly charts. In addition, you can always count on a lively discussion about the latest pop news, fun chart stats and stories, new music, and guest interviews with music stars and folks from the world of pop.
Man, oh man, today on the show, we'll be talking about the 2017 MTV Video Music Awards most impactful moments. Of course, part of that was Taylor Swift, who debuted her new music video. We'll be talking about her new single and video for Look What You Made Me Do, how the track is doing, heading for the top of the Billboard Hot 100 chart. We shall see. We'll get into all that, man.
Plus, we've got chart chat about how Despacito has tied the record for the most weeks at number one on the Billboard Hot 100 chart, how Brand New earns its first number one album on the Billboard 200 chart, and how Lil Uzi Vert is aiming for number one on the Billboard 200.
On top of all that, we've got an interview with the lovely ladies of Fifth Harmony. So awesome, always catching up with them. Ladies
came
by.
Friends
of the podcast, longtime friends of the Pop Shop. They came by to talk about their new self-titled album and a lot more. Great catching up with them. So stay tuned for that later in the show.
But first, before we get started, if you enjoy the podcast, subscribe to the show on iTunes so you won't miss an episode, and give us a rating or review while you're at it. And if you want to explore more podcasts from Billboard, visit iTunes.com/billboardpodcast.
You know, I just want to harp on that. I want some reviews. I want to read some cool reviews and give you some shine. Like, let's go. I want some shout outs to Keith on iTunes.
Critical commentary.
Yeah, give us some stuff. Come on, guys. We always love it when you guys listen and give us feedback. So let's make it happen. All right. So let's hit three. Actually, we're going to do two of the biggest headlines, because there's really only two things that are really focused on in the pop world right now. We got VMAs and we got Taylor. Let's start with Taylor. So last Friday, Look What You Made Me Do comes out Thursday night at midnight/Friday morning. Taylor Swift returned late last week with the lead single off of her forthcoming sixth studio album, Reputation. Look What You Made Me Do, man, it is a wildly different look for the pop superstar. The song's lyrics and music video, incredibly self-referential, improbably caustic. This is a darker Taylor than we've ever met before. And, you know, the music video for the song, like I said at the top, premiered during the VMAs and will help boost the song's streaming numbers as it tries to conquer the Hot 100 chart. So first of all, Keith.
Yes.
Just, yeah, I actually have no idea how you feel about the song. What do you think about Look What You Made Me Do?
I have purposely not shared any of my feelings about the song online. I thought it was interesting, though, on Thursday night, you know, at midnight when it came out, there were a lot of hot takes on Twitter about the song.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's just it's a song, I think, that is a very polarizing track.
Yep.
It is not an immediate, obvious smash hit that's just, like, full of catchy pop hooks, but I think that was probably by design. I think it's more of a statement piece on Taylor's part. And I think it will probably rub a lot of people the wrong way. That said, there are certainly some parts of the song that really stick in your head.
Yeah.
Like, you know, in a earwormy way. But it's just such a caustic track. So it's really, you know, it's difficult. And oftentimes those kind of songs that are kind of explicitly about something that is not very relatable to the average person, I wonder what the average public music fan thinks of those songs, you know, the songs that are so explicitly about, like, you know, the drama of being a celebrity. Like,
yeah.
I don't know how those generally work.
It's really true. You know, one of the things, and I'm right there with you on the track. I think I probably like it a little bit more than you do, but at the same time, my mind was a little bit blown in the sense that it was way darker than I thought it was going to be. And when you say it's interesting, when you say, like, what an average listener thinks of this, because, you know, talking to friends about this song, talking to my wife about this song, they were kind of like, they were like, yeah, you know, we kind of remember that she had some backlash last year, but, like, what is she really talking about? I mean, it seems like
they didn't get it.
Yeah. Because I think that so many of us, and I include myself, have kind of moved on from the Kanye West, like, Snapchat thing and like the Calvin Harris tweets about burying Katy Perry. Like, I think because we're in it day to day, we remember that a little bit more clearly than casual listeners. But I don't know. I mean, I think that it's more than anything, I'm way more interested in Taylor Swift as villain more than the actual drama of what happened in 2016 on Snapchat about Kanye West song Famous. I don't really care about that.
Right.
I definitely think I'm more than anything, the song intrigues me so much, and I can't wait to hear this album because it's going to be so different and so messy and polarizing, like you said. I think that I'm definitely expecting that, and I kind of can't wait for it.
Yeah. Well, clearly a lot of people can't wait for this song either. It's off to a huge start on streaming services and airplay and in sales. We posted a story on Monday about how the track is off to such a great start that it's probably likely going to hit number one on the Hot 100 next week. It will be Taylor's, I believe, fifth number one single. But, you know, the week is not over yet. Anything can happen. You know, who knows?
Yeah.
You know, Adele and Beyonce could drop a duet.
Wow. A and B.
That might be the only thing that could stop Taylor from number one at this point. Also the video came out, and the video is just so over the top, expensive. You know, there's an army of Taylors, you know, all together in this video. It has it's a very clever video, and it's just full of, like, Easter eggs and, like, you know, freeze frame moments that you're just like, well, what does that mean? What is that referencing? So it's highly rewatchable.
Yeah, I totally agree. I definitely think the video adds a different layer to it because, you know, I was when she announced the album title and revealed the album art, I definitely was expecting something along the lines of Blank Space, something a little self-satirizing, a little bit tongue-in-cheek. And then
right.
The song comes out, and it's definitely not at all. It's you know, very kind of aggressive in a way that something like a Blank Space was not when it comes to her criticism before that. But then you have the video, and I think that does kind of strike that self-satirizing tone of, you know, poking fun at herself and her image, especially with that last scene with all the different Taylors interacting. Clever is the perfect
spoiler
word for
alert.
It. Yeah, I know.
Well, we should probably move on.
All right.
Videos. We should probably move on to the VMAs.
Yeah, so the VMAs, a cavalcade of big pop stars and bigger messages. Very heavy political lean on the award ceremony. Kendrick Lamar was the big winner, with Humble taking home Video of the Year, but the night was also highlighted by Logic's moving performance and speech on mental health awareness, performing his song with Alessia Cara and Khalid. Pink's Video Vanguard acceptance speech about refusing to conform to societal expectations, loved that. And multiple condemnations of white supremacy and the events in Charlottesville. Paris Jackson spoke out. A descendant of Robert E. Lee was on hand. Don't get that at every VMAs.
Wow.
In more lighthearted territory, you know, you had the performances by Miley Cyrus and Demi Lovato, Shawn Mendes, Katy Perry, who hosted. They all performed.
Stewart showed up.
Rod Stewart showed up with DNCE. Yeah, that was actually a pretty fun performance. I enjoyed that.
I wonder if that was pre-taped. It was in Vegas.
I suspect it was. But one of the cooler moments, Ed Sheeran was joined by Lil Uzi Vert, who I know you're going to get to later in the show. They did this strange mashup of Shape of You and EXO Tour Life. Did not see that coming, Keith. So
wow.
It was a really interesting show. There are some times where you're looking at the clock and it's like, all right, it's in the third hour. Can't wait to get through this. Just, you know, performance after performance. I thought this was a pretty compelling VMAs. And, you know, it's just I love Pink. I love having someone like Pink do a big mashup of all of her songs, big medley. And Miley sounded great. Kendrick opening up the show. It was fun. I mean, and I think the Video of the Year went to the Video of the Year for Humble. So that was
for
pretty
once,
cool.
They get it right.
Yeah, they got it right. And
they've got it right a lot of times.
Yeah, that's very true. You know, one of the things that was kind of a bummer was the tribute to Linkin Park's Chester Bennington was kind of weird. Got some backlash online. You know, they basically just aired like 30 seconds of Linkin Park's 2010 VMAs performance and then like cut to a commercial. Very strange.
That's always the plight of award shows when this is so terrible. But like, you know, award shows, if you're too far away from the death of the artist,
yeah,
the award show producer's just like, how much time should we really commit to the show for this person? I mean, it's lame. But that's how these producers think.
Yeah. So I'm curious as to, you know, what our listeners really took away from the show. I thought, like I said, I thought Logic was a huge winner. Kendrick Lamar was, you know, he's the A-list among all the A-listers. And One Video of the Year had one of the best performances. It was a fun night, man.
Yeah. Well, let's move on and do the chart chat.
Let's do it.
Here are three of the biggest headlines on the charts right now. Number one, Despacito hits a record-tying 16th week at number one on the Billboard Hot 100. Number two, Brand New is brand new at number one on the Billboard 200 chart.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Yeah, I'm funny. It's the rock band's first number one album. And number three, it looks like Lil Uzi Vert, there's that name again, could bow at number one on the Billboard 200 next week. All right, let's break down each of these individually. First up, One Sweet Day, back in 1996. Mariah Carey and Boyz II Men's One Sweet Day set the record for the most weeks at number one on the Hot 100 when the track spent its 16th week atop the list. It beat the previous record holders, Boyz II Men's I'll Make Love to You and Whitney Houston's I Will Always Love You, which had both spent 14 weeks at number one. So not only did One Sweet Day beat it, but it actually beat it by 2 weeks. And now we fast forward to 2017, where Luis Fonsi and Daddy Yankee's Despacito, featuring Justin Bieber, spins a record-tying 16th week at number one. The song still actually has a decent lead over the number two song this week, which is DJ Khaled's Wild Thoughts, featuring Rihanna and Bryson Tiller. But it would appear that Despacito will likely step aside next week for a new number one, Taylor Swift's Look What You Made Me Do. But it doesn't necessarily mean that Despacito's done with. It's not like donezo for Despacito, because Taylor could have a really big first week, and then retreat from number one, and then Despacito could go back to number one, which could totally happen. So yeah. Despacito could rack up a 17th week. It just maybe not necessarily a consecutive week, you know, consecutive 17. And that way, if it did that, it would stand alone as the longest running number one period in history.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see in the coming weeks if it does get that 17th week. I mean, I think no matter what happens, this is just unbelievable in the sense that 21 years of One Sweet Day standing alone as 16 weeks at number one, and now it at the very least has to share that honor with another song. It's
records are meant to be broken.
Yeah. Yep. It's congrats to Luis and Daddy Yankee and Bieber and everybody that behind that song. It definitely, nobody could have predicted 16 weeks at number one. It's nearly unprecedented. Only one song has ever done that, and it's pretty cool, man.
Let's move on. Next up, Rock Band, brand new, nabs its first number one album on the Billboard 200 as Science Fiction starts atop the tally with 58,000 equivalent album units earned in the week ending August 24th, according to Nielsen Music. And of that sum, 55,000 were in traditional album sales. The album was released on August 18th through the band's own Procrastinate Music Traders label, and it is the first album from the band in nearly eight. So clearly people, fans of the band, were very eagerly awaiting this album. And some folks might sort of look at this number one and go, huh, who's brand new? Because they're not incredibly well known in terms of mainstream pop or rock music. They don't have a lot of airplay. They're not, you know, like it's a fairly number one. But they picked the right week to drop their album because, you know, there's a time in August where there's not a whole lot of stuff that comes out. And if you take advantage of the right week to come out, you will have a nice, you know, handsome debut on the chart. And they did it this week. Jason, normally we would do a Quiz Katie on the show, but we're going to do an Ask Jason. Jason, brand new, waited 14 years, 2 months, and 4 days from its Billboard 200 chart debut in 2003 until its first number one album. Now, if you haven't read my story online about this, then you will not know the answer. Can you name the last act that waited as long for its first number one?
You know, I feel like because I haven't been hosting the Pop Shop podcast, I feel like I'm rusty on these chart questions.
So you don't have an answer.
No, let me ask you a quick. Can you give me some kind of hint? Is it like a rock band?
No, it actually happened just last year.
Okay, so last year.
But it's like a weird one. It's a weird number one.
Weird number one.
And it was from someone. I'll just go ahead and tell you it's a person that you probably would have thought had a number one album like sometime in the long past, like many moons ago.
Yeah, it's like it's not Tony Bennett, but it's like a Tony Bennett who never had a number one album.
I can just tell you. It'll be quicker that way.
Yeah. So, all right. I give up.
So it's actually David Bowie.
Oh.
Now, that's
forgot
why
it's, about that.
It's tricky. So David Bowie's Black Star debuted at number one on the January 30th, 2016 dated chart, which was 43 years and change, 43 years, 9 months, and 15 days. After he debuted on the chart with Hunky Dory in April of 1972. But, of course, Black Star was released 2 days before David Bowie died on January 10th. So if we look earlier sort of a more traditional album debut, the last longer wait than the 14-year wait for, you know, that Brand New had was actually by Tyrese, when his Black Rose album debuted at number one back in 2015, which was 16 years and 8 months and 18 days after his self-titled album debuted on the chart back in 1998. So
interesting.
Yeah, so there you go. Lastly, according to industry forecasters, Little Uzi Vert could be heading for his first number one album on the Billboard 200 chart. I think they're framing this as his debut album, even though he's had mixtapes before. His new album.
I always love that when there's like a title like Love is Rage 2, yes. And it's a debut album. It's like, whoa, what happened to Love is Rage 1?
I wonder that too, because this album is called Love is Rage, and then it's the numeral 2.
I'm exactly. Like,
where was 1? Anyway, it's on course to bow atop the list. According to forecasters, it's going to do probably over 100,000 units.
Wow.
Maybe like 110-ish, so that's pretty good. A lot of that will be streams. Hip-hop does very well with streams, so that's not terribly surprising. Other albums heading for sizable debuts on the chart include Fifth Harmony's new self-titled set, Queens of the Stone Age's new Villains, and XXXTentacion's 17. Yeah, I got that pronunciation
right. Very cool,
right.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
There you go. I think now, Jason, you have something to say.
Yeah, it's now time. Speaking of Fifth Harmony, it's time to check in with Fifth Harmony. Super happy to have the lady stop by the office in the midst of a very busy week. You know, they dropped their album, they performed at the VMAs, and they stopped by the Billboard offices all in the same week. We talked to the group about the new music and everything, their hectic schedule, much more. Happy to have them back on the Pop Shop podcast. So take a listen to our chat with Fifth Harmony. Thank you to Fifth Harmony for stopping by the Pop Shop podcast here at Billboard.
Thanks for having us with your Gucci socks.
Yeah.
I'm wearing
literally
Gucci Mane socks.
Gucci Mane.
They're epic.
He's the best.
Super epic.
He's on, you guys just performed with him.
We did.
You won a VMA
and
with
Angel.
Him.
I know.
That's crazy.
Keisha
Kiara was there. So that's incredible. She shared the stage with him. That was like the best.
Yes.
So in the past week, you guys performed at the VMAs. You won at the VMAs. You released your third album. Like, how are you guys doing? This is like a whirlwind week. How
is
everything feeling right now?
It's definitely a whirlwind, and I feel like I'm really sad that it's over. Like, I knew going into it, I told the girls, I was like, I'm so excited, but you know, once we finish off of the stage, like, I'm gonna be really sad because I want to do it all over again. And sure enough, I want to do it all over again. It was definitely the most monumental night for us, I think, especially in our careers over the last 4 to 5 years. And we've worked so hard. We've had an amazing relationship, you know, with MTV, and they've been there from the start too. So we're really, really grateful for, you know, their love and support, and just the crowd and just the opportunity. Yeah. And the liveliness in the room. I feel like it's a magic and energy that's indescribable.
So
you'd have to be on stage to like really feel it.
I gotta ask you about that split.
Oh no.
Yes, okay. Queen
you
of Splits.
You literally got a shout out. I think it was BB Rex.
Yeah, BB.
I did.
We
love her. She did it. She gave me a shout out like 3 times.
Literally.
She
did.
I love BB. She's so
it was amazing.
No, I love her. Like girl power all the way.
Was that like a planned thing? It must have been a planned thing.
Well, shout out
like
to our choreographer, Sean Bankhead. He will have us doing all kinds of tricks on stage, whether we're singing or not. But luckily, I pulled it. Through.
That's incredible. Was it kind of like nerve-wracking leading up to it? I would, you know, I as someone who cannot do a split or get close to a split.
Well, actually, I'm going to tell you what happened. So for the beginning, when we fell back and my mic pack actually came off.
Oh, wow.
The whole thing. So for the whole rest of the performance, I had no ears. I was winging it.
Whoa.
So I was like, okay, well, if all else fails, I can't even hear myself. I'm about to bust this split real fast.
I'm about to bust this split. Moni, you
so
literally
it kind of saved me.
You would never have been able to tell ever.
Thank you.
You were full of.
I was freaking out and praying to God.
I'm sure.
In that moment.
Now, and obviously the performance had, you know, this intro that became like a viral thing. Mm-hmm. And everybody was, I think it was like our number one story, like the performance was the number one story for Billboard on Facebook, I think, after the VMAs. Like, were you guys surprised by how many people were talking about those few second intro, or did you know that people were going to be talking about it?
I couldn't say that that was necessarily the intention, because I feel like the whole performance was just a creative capture of our story. So from beginning to end, there's so many different elements that told that story. So I don't know if we particularly thought people would only focus on that, but it was an element that was important to our storytelling. So it's cool that people talked about it. Hey, people were talking about our performance. That's what matters, right?
Very cool. So I want to ask about the album. I talked to a couple of you guys about the album already.
Yes.
But now it's out, and you had fans reacting to it. You know, how often do you guys, like, obviously everybody, I'm sure all of your mentions are like, oh my God, it's out, I love it. But like, how much do you guys look at like the reactions in terms of, this song seems to be a favorite of everybody, this song like people are really connecting to in this way, like do you guys pay a lot of attention to that?
Definitely. Yeah, our fans' feedback is major to us. We love watching their reaction videos and seeing what they're talking about, because that kind of gives us an idea of what kind of music, you know, we can continue to make and all that kind of where we connected the most, which is really important to us in this runaround, because we just want to connect with our fans through our music.
Yeah, and I've come across so many people too that love Lonely Night. There's been so many people saying that Lonely Night.
Told you.
Rexha said on the
on Twitter, she was like at Fifth Harmony at Epic, this better be the next single.
I love her.
I think it's just because of
like
she's like her fan.
She's a fan. Vivi's a harmonizer.
Vivi, you are in Fifth Harmony. Let's just say that. Like,
we love you. Yeah, she really.
Love it. But yeah, so cool. It's just amazing that people are responding well to our music, because this is definitely the direction that we've wanted all this time, and the fact that we've honed into it and people are responding well to it makes me so happy, because we've been wanting this, and we're finally, you know, we finally stepped to the studio and we were given the power to create, and especially with Lonely Night, deliver like the direction. We were able to have that control, and that's what I'm so proud of, because now people are loving it as much as we do.
Yeah, you definitely hear a different amount of freedom on this album, and I appreciate that just as a listener, like being able to hear the differentiation between, you know, the first two albums and then this one. It definitely seems like you're speaking more from your hearts, and I don't know, it's pretty like
more authentic.
Yeah, authentic's a perfect word. I mean. Does that make it more gratifying now that it's out and people are really appreciating it?
Oh, yeah. And it really helps that we were able to co-write more than half the album. So we're more connected to this in particular than we've ever been to any other record we've put out. But yeah, it's such an indescribable feeling, because we've worked so hard on it in the past several months. And, you know, we've really had so many different sessions with different outstanding writers and producers, and we were able to really say what we wanted to say on this album and get all of our feelings out, and it's really great, because in this album you hear kind of all ends of the spectrum when it comes to topics. But we're so happy, and our fans love the music, we love the music. We have our own music on repeat, which never happened.
Literally, yeah. On my way to the airport yesterday, I was actually listening to the album and like jamming.
I feel like every time I look at Dinah's phone, she's
which
like
is listening.
Fifth Harmony.
Leave me alone. Yeah. You are your number one stan.
Okay,
you
know. I know. She literally like keeps saying it out loud.
I think that's what makes
Dinah and
this
BB Rex says.
Yeah, right.
Totally. And what's so cool too is that we're number one in like 48 countries, and that's like the highest ever for us. Before it was like 21,
that's
20,
crazy.
23, and just the response worldwide, the fact that our music can travel so far, people are like responding to it, that's like so, like you said, gratifying just to know that. And I also huge major shout out to our A&R, Chris Anacute, because this wouldn't have been possible if it weren't for him. So
I agree. Yeah. And it's such a fulfilling like feeling as an artist to be able to put something out that you genuinely do believe in, and it be received so well. And then also just for us internally as artists, we haven't been able to create and do this and share, you know, what's really on our minds or what's really in our hearts for so long. Like, we've always had the ideas, but I think that it was just a matter of gaining respect and kind of proving ourselves, which we've definitely done, and we worked our ass off for. So I think that it's really, really nice to kind of gain that respect from the people that work around us.
Yeah. And it makes the process way more fun, to be honest. Yeah. Like, all the press and all the sleepless nights and all of the touring and the creative process, like all of it is so much more fun when you actually like your music.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like when you're actually
in a good space.
Yeah, when you actually connect with your music and you can be like, let's do like these kind of fan events, because like this is inspiring this, like, and we think of those things and we want to do those things. That's a whole other world.
Yeah, and right when we dropped our music, you don't understand, we looked at the schedule and we're like, whoa, we're about to go, like there's no sleep in between. And none of us, like, usually we're like, yo, can we get like a day off in between? None of us have asked for that. We're like, let's just go.
We really have.
We're like so excited and ready to run with it.
Well, kind of along those lines, like obviously you guys are really prolific, you've had three albums over the course of 3 years. Every time you drop an album, I you know, I ask about it, and you guys are also like, we're already thinking about the next thing. And so are you guys already thinking about, you know, number four, or are you more song ideas? I mean, look, this album came out a couple days ago, but you guys work really fast.
I get that.
Well, it's nice that you're eager for some new music.
Yeah, wow.
Exactly. Ahead of us right now.
We just dropped it, Jason. Give us some time.
Well, we just dropped the music, so I think this is just a fresh start.
We're
going to
connect and ride with this one.
Yeah, connect and ride with it.
Getting on tour with this body of work.
Coming to the States, because we're going to South America, but we have to go more places.
Yeah, and I was going to ask about that. I mean, is the VMA's performance kind of indicative of what fans can expect from the live show?
I would say so, to a certain extent.
The budget was probably a little better for VMA.
The budget was nice.
Honest. To be completely honest.
The budget is the key word.
Yeah.
It's so, guys.
I feel you.
So, but we're definitely going to try our best to bring as much of a thematic performance value to what we have this time.
Just like more rain machines. That's all.
Right? Yeah. Let's just get our production crews and the boxes.
Guys, get a rain machine. How much?
We could get some sprinklers.
Never mind.
Some hose, guys. So
it's like raining.
Get a hose. Or one of those. You know when you were little and you had that little plastic toy you could connect to the hose and it sprinkled things?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That would work.
We could get one of those. Target.
Ideas on ideas.
That's like 10 bucks.
Target.
I'm down.
How many with that budget?
Well, guys, again, congrats on everything. Congrats on the album.
Thank you so much.
On the VMAs.
Thank you so much.
And looking forward to what's next.
Yes.
Thank you guys for stopping by the podcast.
Thank you for having us.
All right. Thank you so much to Fifth Harmony again. Check out their new album, Led by Down, featuring Gucci Mane. Love Angel as well, which is produced by Skrillex. And also check Billboard.com because Ali and Dinah actually went through the entire track list with me last week, broke down every song and how every song came together. So check that out right now on Billboard.com.
Well, now it is time for the chart set of the week. 5 years ago this week, Taylor Swift, hey, speaking of Taylor, got her first number one on the Hot 100 with We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together. And you thought her new single was drama. That We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together was like super drama.
Yep.
Yeah, that's nothing compared
Love that.
To the new single.
Love that song.
The track hit number one on the September 1st, 2012 dated chart and spent a total of 3 weeks at number one. We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together was the lead single from Swift's Red album. It was Red, right? Pretty sure it was.
Oh, yeah.
Which would later debut at number one on the Billboard 200 chart. Somewhat amazingly, Swift had charted 45 entries on the Hot 100 before she got her first number one. The closest she had gotten to number one before We Are Never was number two. Twice with You Belong With Me and in 2009 and Today Was a Fairy Tale in 2010. After We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together, Swift has topped the chart three more times with Shake It Off, Blank Space, and Bad Blood. Now she could of course add another number one on top of that next week, so stay tuned. So there you have it. 5 years ago this week, Taylor Swift got her first number one on the Hot 100 with We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together. Alrighty,
Keith, I have some chart trivia for you. You ready for this?
I guess so.
All right, so
unscripted moment.
Yeah, look at that. So 5 years ago, you mentioned We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together was released August 2012. It was released, and then Red came out October 2012. It came out. Taylor Swift's Red came out on the same day as a pretty memorable debut album in October 2012. Do you remember what that album is?
So the same day that Red came out, there was another album that came out that was someone's debut album?
Yes.
So a debut album in 2012. You want to give me a hint here? Aside from the fact that it's a debut album from someone?
My hint is that both Red and this album were nominated for Album of the Year at the Grammys.
Was it Ed Sheeran? No.
It was not.
I don't know.
Kendrick Lamar's Good Kid, Mad City.
Oh.
Both released, I believe, October 22nd, 2012. Kendrick Lamar came in at number two, obviously, on the Billboard 200. That is why
That's right.
To Pimp a Butterfly in 2015 was his first number one album. There you go, wow. Man. Look at that. Wow. Sliding in with some chart trivia.
Bonus chart stat.
Who knew?
Love that. any parting words before we close out the show?
No, man. I guess the chart trivia was my parting words.
Yeah, there you go. That works.
Dishing out some brain busters. That's all I'm here for.
What song should we go out on?
You know what? Let's go out on another great Red song from Taylor Swift. Let's go out on Begin Again.
Okay. Well, we'll see you guys next time. Thanks.
See ya.
But on a Wednesday in a cafe, I watched it begin again.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.